Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 14th of September. I'm your host, Paul White. Tomorrow on all of our platforms, we air our Sunday message from somewhere around the world. This one comes to you from McDougal, Arkansas. I like to try to remind my audience what's coming up on the weekend, kind of get you anticipating what's coming up. This is that we did three services in McDougal near the end of August, and tomorrow starts the first of three Sundays in a row in which we air those sermons for you. The first message right out of the gate on Friday night was, and this will be the first one we air, how does God see you? Question, how does God see you? And I tackle this idea of judging on the surface, and I look at some things Jesus says in John 8, and I go against that, the ideology that God sees me as my latest failure or my latest sin. Kind of a basic thought for a lot of people who are accustomed to the ministry of righteousness and grace, and you understand the finished work, you go, well, I don't need to know how God sees me. But I think it'll be a good refresher course for you. I think to go back over that material and see it with a fresh set of eyes, where you are on the journey now, I think it'll be the kind of thing that will bless you. And so I think these next three are going to be, while they are in some ways fundamental, they are foundational. It doesn't mean they're simple, and I think there's a difference. And so we build on that foundation. Hope you will check them out. They air on YouTube and right here wherever you're listening to the podcast. And of course, paulwhiteministries.com. Our Facebook feeds carry those as well. Paul White Ministries. You can follow us on Facebook. And please go to YouTube. Search PWM. That's us. And when you find us, subscribe. You can watch the videos as they post. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 today. I did not do Long Form Friday yesterday. I do them if I have one on deck that I really want to air. I ignore it if I don't, and I just keep teaching in the Word. So we're going to continue. We continued yesterday through what would have been Long Form, and we're going to continue to do that again today. 1 Corinthians 8. And as we finished yesterday, I told you that we were going to talk about what Paul considered spiritual weakness. Let's reread the 7th verse through the 9th verse. Actually, here's what I'll do. Let's read 7 through the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol until now, they eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees that you have knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. This is a fairly self-explanatory passage. Probably the only other thing we'll do with this on its own podcast is deal with that liberty that becomes a stumbling block. But I want to focus on the weak. Paul talks about it several times through this passage, and in each instance, he's talking about the weak conscience, and the weak conscience is that which you have as a believer in which you believe that what you are doing is wrong to the point that you defile your conscience. Your conscience begins to carry shame and guilt. And it's not something that is wrong. Paul's defense is you have knowledge that you can eat whatever, but not everybody has that same knowledge. So we recognize that people are at a different place on this journey. In Romans 14, it's the most famous Romans passage about eating and drinking. It's that passage that talks about what the kingdom's actually made up of, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, versus what the kingdom is not made up of, and that is food and drink. meat and drink. And at the top of that chapter, listen to this. I want to read the first several verses of Romans 14. It'll sound a lot like 1 Corinthians 8, and it might help round a couple of things out. I think Paul's theology is even a little deeper here in Romans 14. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. We'll come back to that. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll be made to stand, for God's able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above one another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be convinced in his own mind. Look at that. End of verse 5. Let each be convinced where? In his own mind. Let's review. Some people are weak in the faith. What's it mean to be weak in the faith? Is weak in the faith, I just don't believe God will heal. No, that's not Paul's definition of weak in the faith. Weak in the faith is where you carry yourself through the world judging your actions and living underneath a heavy or weak conscience based upon those actions. Paul compares a man who eats anything to a man who eats only vegetables. That's a man who avoids meats for various reasons. Maybe he avoids them. Maybe he avoids them for health reasons. Maybe he avoids them for because he values the life of the animal. Maybe he avoids them. I think these are probably more accurate, these next ones. Maybe he avoids them because he doesn't want to accidentally eat something unclean under Jewish law. Maybe he avoids them because the town he's in only offers meat that's been offered to idols. For whatever reasons, Paul says, one believes one thing, one believes another. Don't let each person despise the other one. Who are you to judge what someone does? The master judges the servant. That's an odd way for Paul to say it's God's job to take care of each one of us. It's not your job to determine how one person lives his life. One esteems one above another. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So, review. What is weak? What is spiritually weak to Paul? Weak in the faith is one who disputes over doubtful things and concerns him or herself over what they eat or don't eat, what they are a part of or not a part of, these neutralities that become big things. I think Paul's overarching theme, and particularly when you add in that argument from Hebrews 9 and 10 that we talked about a couple days ago or yesterday, that weak in the faith or spiritually weak is someone who lives by a conscience that is not full of faith, that is not bold in the faith, and therefore they listen to that evil conscience. They accept the fact that that evil conscience offers them up some dead works to serve a living God, and they live out those dead works in front of God believing that they achieved something. And the reality is, we achieve nothing through this. Food, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 8. Look at 8:8. Food doesn't commend us to God. Neither if we eat are we better, and if we don't eat are we worse. The stuff you do in front of God as activity does not make you better, does not make you worse. Tomorrow, watch out, Paul says, beware, lest somehow this liberty become a stumbling block to those who are weak. We've defined the weak. Now let's define the stumbling block. We do that on tomorrow's podcast. I'll see you then. God bless.